Welcome to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast, where each week, Samantha Johnston, brand developer to the creative and confused, and Nicole Hoagland, small biz and confidence coach to the creatives, are having entrepreneurs share their real stories and tips about their honest and authentic success in business and how they have been able to lead boldly by being themselves. They are creating a movement to show you how to create your own version of success and empower you to be beautifully bold in your business.
Hey, thank you for joining us on the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast. I'm Samantha.
And I'm Nicole.
And today we're joined with Jessica Stansberry. She's a graphic and web designer who also kicks booty at small business strategy, marketing, and all the techie things. She's the boss lady at Eden House Media, a marketing, graphic, and web design company, and she blogs about the technical parts of running an online business and offers ready-made courses at jessicastansberry.com. As if those didn't keep her busy enough, she also co-hosts a successful podcast called All Up in Your Lady Business and co-owns with her mom a client gifting company for service-based businesses called Prish. In her spare time, you can find Jessica hanging out in her free Facebook group is Tech Collective, chasing pigs and maybe even videotaping it for her Facebook group and wrangling her two little boys on the family farm she shares with her husband. Hey, Jessica.
What's up, ladies?
That's a mouthful.
I just kept writing. I was like, okay, but I forgot that and I forgot that. So I kept like adding stuff. And I have to include the pigs because
yes! That was a fantastic video too. Right? So if you're not part of Jessica's group, go join it now and then find that video because it was hysterical.
Yeah, the pigs. It's my life is just, that is my life. Like if you go watch that video, this is basically what I do like every day. Like, there's a dog out or there's a goat out or there's a sheep out or there's a random pig out and I don't know how to call a pig. So it was, you know, one of those things. My husband does all that. I just live here.
Oh, that's hysterical. I can just picture here, piggy, 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 here, yep. Piggy, piggy, piggy.
Yep. That's exactly what was going on.
Well, we're so happy to have you here.
Thank you.
I'm already laughing. But we like to start all of our interviews asking you what your kickstart moment was.
So I think I have several of these. So I'm going to tell you all. I think there's like three probably. So when I was in college, my degree is in advertising and design. I was in a marketing class and the professor, you know, the marketing class was split between creatives, so graphic designers, advertising, that kind of thing, or business majors. And she asked the class who envisioned themselves being self-employed. And I think at that point I hadn't even thought of it. Like it wasn't even, you know, I was just like, oh, I'm getting through college. I'm going to get the good job and be done. And I found myself like involuntarily raising my hand. Like, yes, I do. So it was then that I actually started freelancing in college. So I was like, okay, if I want to be self-employed, I might as well start now, you know, like, so, okay, sure. So that was a big kickstart moment for me. And I freelanced all the way through my college life. And then through the 3 years I was in a corporate job after college, a huge kickstarting moment for me was at my 9-to-5. Well, I hated the job and I will truncate this story a little bit because it's a little long, but hated the job. And after I had my first baby, I went back to work and they jumped all over me my first day back for random things. You can hear the whole story. I have a whole episode on it in our podcast. So if anybody wants to hear like the 30 minute long version, head there. But anyway, I got jumped all over and I realized that I just couldn't live life that way. Didn't want to live life that way. And so it was I quit. I put in my notice 2 weeks later and quit a month after I went back. So very short timeline there. And I realized that like that was not what I envisioned for my life. And I wanted to be my own boss. And so that was a big one. Then I have another one. Okay. So in 2015, so just last year, I realized that I needed to stop treating my business as a hobby because up until that point, so for about 4 or 5 years, I was treating it, oh, I just need to make enough money to get groceries or I need to make enough money to pay for my car or, you know, whatever. It was just a, let's make $500 this month type business. And I realized in 2015 that like, that was stupid. Like I could make whatever money I wanted to make. And so when I realized that I needed to stop treating my business like a hobby and start treating it like a business, that was a huge kickstart moment too. So I think those are like my phases of kickstart moment.
I feel like a lot of us, especially the designers and, you know, web designers and whatnot, we all kind of start out that way with that hobby. I know mine was like, people were like, oh, hey, you know how to do this. Can you do it? And so I would do it for friends and family and slowly into that. But I had very much the same mindset of, okay, like the family wants to go to Disneyland. Let me just make a few hundred dollars and we can go to Disneyland. Like it was, how much can I make this month just to make it so we can get to that point versus actually setting real goals and building the business. And so I'm sitting here nodding my head as you're saying, and I'm like, I know what that's like.
Yes. And I think too that product-based businesses start that way a lot too. They'll be like, oh, well, I loved making the cloth diapers for my baby. Let me just sell them a little bit on Etsy or, you know, whatever. So I think a lot of people will identify with that.
Definitely. You also had a slight pivot in your business last year where, I think it was last year, I lose track of time, where you didn't just do the web design, but now you've got Jessica Stansberry. What brought about that pivot?
Some awful clients. Some like really crappy clients, basically, if I'm being honest. So I realized very quickly that whatever reason in this time, it was like literally like a 2 month time frame. For some reason, I had the worst clients ever and they were talking down to me and just being ugly and just not what I wanted to do. I love web design. Like it is one of my like favorite things ever, but not if I'm going to be talked to like a dog while I'm doing it. So during all of that, I was like, okay, so how can I monetize my skills, but without having to like deal with the clients as much? And I still deal with the clients. I probably wouldn't ever give up custom web design. I still do it, but I'm very selective with my clients because I can make a little extra money selling the other stuff that's out there. So that was the big thing, was like, how can I really monetize this skill that I have without teaching people how to do it? Because that's not really what I wanted to do. I didn't want to like teach other designers how to design. I didn't feel like that was a good place for me. So I started like, I share techie tips on the blog and so all kinds of stuff, like how to do a good Gmail signature and, you know, all the things. And then I have my DIY Your Website course. I have a ConvertKit course. So really anything that I dive into and figure out that people start coming to me and saying, oh, so how did you do that? I'm like, oh, hold on a minute. Let me create a course for that. And then I'll tell you.
I love that. You know, even being a techie person, I bought your ConvertKit course because I'm like, I can figure this out. But Jessica's already laid it out for me. So I'm just going to save myself the time because I can just nod along and then be like, okay, I didn't have to go figure it out.
That's what a lot of people have said. They're like, I consider myself pretty techie, but I just didn't want to figure it out. So you already done it. So here we go, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. And it's so affordable that I was like, yeah, it's worth it.
Exactly. And ConvertKit's like the new kid on the block, you know? So everybody's sort of wanting to figure it out. So I think I hit it at a really good time, which was awesome. And hopefully I can stay on top of trends like that and hit everything at that good of a time, but probably not.
I love that you pivoted the business in the way that felt right for you and not necessarily what your clients were demanding. Would you be willing to touch a little bit about, you know, how you put up those boundaries now for the clients that you still do work with to make sure that they're not just a good fit for you, but you're also a good fit for them so that there's a good working relationship?
Sure. So, and I was doing this when I had the crappy clients too, so I can't promise that it works. But the big thing for me now is that I get on the phone with every client before I actually sign them so they can hear my accent. People assume I'm stupid because I'm Southern and it happens a lot and I'm used to it. So if people are still willing to get past that, you know, and like hire me to do their work, then that's great. I can feel like whether or not they're going to be a pushy client usually on that first call, which is not what I'm going to do. And then I also focus on the people who are running businesses that appeal to me. So like, I love working with photographers. It's one of my favorite things ever because I love photography. It was my first business actually, but I didn't like doing it for myself. So I work with the people who have businesses that complement my likes. And so that really helps me too. And I do lay everything out very upfront. So, in their contract and in their welcome packet and in a video. Now I have a video too, because I'm like, people aren't reading this welcome packet. I'm going to get them to do something. Like they can either watch the video or not, you know, but I explain to them that like on Thursdays, our studio is closed for client work. So we don't even answer emails on Thursdays. because it's a team development day or a business development day. I lay it very out front that they are not to message me on Facebook and things like that, that were just the pain points in those clients that I did have. And it's really helped a lot. And I love most of my clients. I always have loved most of my clients, but those couple sort of crappy ones that I had were a big turning point for me to realize that I needed to just be upfront with people. Like, this is what's going down. You will not contact me this way. This will not happen. You will not talk to me badly. I have a slander clause in my contract now. That happened. So that's fun. You know, just different stuff like that.
I love that you took everything that you were, you know, dealing with at the time and created almost this, not necessarily safe space, but this place for you now where you basically have everything together, where if something were to happen, immediately you can handle it and deal with it and it not really affect you or your business. It's almost like you've taken yourself out of that equation because you've already dealt with the, I like to call them PETAs, the pain in the
ass. Yes.
And you're able to deal with it quickly, you know, sweetly, and get it off of your plate, so you don't actually have to deal with them anymore.
Yeah, exactly. No, I love it. I love everything I'm doing right now, and so that makes me realize that I'm where I should be, you know.
And I do want to ask, because you did say that, like, your clients are people who basically have interests that you also have interests in. Has that always been the way, or is that something that came out of like the crappy clients?
No, it's sort of always been that way. So when I started my business, I was a blog designer only, like not web design, just blog. And that was because I was a blogger. So that sort of matched. And then it morphed into all businesses, just small businesses, that type of thing. At one point, I niched down like a lot and only designed for people in the fitness professions, because I love that kind of stuff too. And now it's all open, and I would likely work with any, you know, small business that came to me. But the fact that they're women, that's a similarity. You know, I love a good woman who's on a mission to like run her business like crazy, you know? So that's a like in and of itself. Even if they're running a business that I don't even know about, that right there is a common thread. And yeah, I love working with fitness professionals, photographers, things that I just really enjoy doing myself, or really enjoy looking at, like prettiness, you know, I love to look at pictures. So, but yeah, no, I guess it's sort of always been that way. And I think that's pretty natural. Like, most people attract who they are. Like, they're going to attract the people that are similar to them.
Yeah, it's the law of attraction. Yeah, I'm learning all this stuff as I'm going through my coaching training. So no, it makes sense. And I was very curious, because if you start out your business and you're attracting the people that you do like, obviously there's going to be those few clients that necessarily kind of get under your skin and, you know, eventually you kind of cut ties with. But as long as you're keeping yourself open to like attracting people who you value just as much as you value yourself, the clients will come, and it's going to be a match as long as you have those system and processes in place beforehand to vet them and get to know them before you start that working relationship.
Exactly.
You know, I feel like hearing your story, I feel like we took similar yet different journeys.
Mm-hmm.
We both had the blogging start. Almost everybody that hired me was a blogger.
Yeah.
Not because that's actually, I wasn't a blogger, though. That's probably the biggest difference. It just happened to be I had friends who were bloggers and were like, oh, you helped me, but here's this other group, and now you need to help everybody over here. But I had the awful clients that caused me to do the pivot, and mine were a little bit different, and I went a different path. My pivot was completely different than yours.
Right.
But I had those people who literally, like, I had my son. I gave birth to my son, who was born unresponsive, and we spent a few days in the hospital. And while I'm in the hospital, and they're fully aware that I'm in the hospital, are sending me like cranky emails about when their stuff's going to get done. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Like, these are not the right clients for me. I'm doing the wrong thing. And, you know, I had a whirlwind of stuff. If anybody's heard multiple other podcasts with me, they'll know that story. But for about 6 months, my family had lots of trials and tribulations of things they had to go through. And by the time I came back, I was like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to deal with these people. They're terrible clients. Okay, I'm reevaluating my business. And my pivot went to coaching. But now I kind of did the same thing you did. I was like, no, I still need to incorporate what I loved before, because
yes.
I did. It was the people. It wasn't what I was doing. It was who I was doing it with. So I love the fact that, it's fun hearing that your story is so similar. I'm like, oh, it's not just me.
No, it's not just you. And I do strategy too now. So it's just one of those things. I think that I own five businesses at this point. Like, It's not, and I like them all for different reasons, you know? So I love the podcast because it's, I get to talk all day. Like, who the heck wouldn't like that, you know? And we actually monetize it now. We have sponsors and it's great. And then I have the business with my mom that I don't really have to touch. I set it all up. I design the products, but she runs it. And then I have, you know, my businesses. And so I had to like figure out and realize that it was okay for me to like these different things and do them all. Like that was okay. As long as I liked it and I was good at it and I could focus on it, that was okay for me. And the funny thing is you look at people like, this one's a really fresh example on my mind because I just watched The Hills reunion from on MTV. It wasn't a reunion. It was just Lauren Conrad talking about The Hills. But anyway, she owns two different clothing lines with two different ideal customers. She owns one that's sold at Kohl's with like the normal person customer, I guess. And then she has a higher end line. Then she has a line, or not a line, but a store that she sells. They go around to different third world countries and buy products from the women there. So she sells like things like that. And I'm like, okay, look, see, I'm not crazy. Like that's just part of my personality and I'm okay with it. And if I can make money at these other things that keeps me from having to take on the crappy clients, then, you know, doesn't matter to me. I'm good.
Yeah, I think that it's part of like our creative mindset. And I know Marie Forleo talks about being multi-passionate. And I think that's, we can't stop creating and we have a passion for all of these different ventures and things that we do. And I used to feel very segmented and I was like, how does it all fit together and try to put it all together? And I actually had a call recently with my accountability partner, who I'm also doing her beta marketing course. And she was like, okay, you need to define where you want to play. In three words. And I was like, no, I want to play everywhere.
Yeah.
And so she actually kind of helped me coin the three words that I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like it all came together. And it was entrepreneurship, education, and community. And I'm like, okay, that works. I can fit all of my multiple passions into those three words.
Yeah.
I got it.
Exactly. I mean, it's just whatever works for you. Like not everybody is the same, you know, and in a year, it'll be different. I have never experienced a year in my business where it's not been completely different than the last year, you know?
Yes, I have to agree with that. I think it's a ever changing tide. It ebbs and flows, and it's like a roller coaster. It goes ups and downs and twirls around.
And people who are not entrepreneurs don't understand it. Mm-hmm. So I have a guy I graduated with, and he asked me every time I see him when my next business name is going to come out. And I'm like, screw you, I'm good. I know what I'm doing and leave me alone, because he just doesn't get it, you know? So, but yeah, it's just a difference in where you're at as a person and where your business is at and how it all works together.
Yeah. And because you have all of these different passions too, and whether or not you're monetizing them, you actually get to express them, which is what life is supposed to be about. Like doing something that you want to, as opposed to the have to's, is truly what, you know, being an entrepreneur is all about. So
totally.
Having those different kinds of businesses where you're able to express that different kind of creativity, what are some of the inspirations that, you know, you tap into on a daily basis?
Okay. So I will say that the inspiration for me in general, like the overall encompassing inspiration, is that I don't want to be normal. You know what I mean? So like, I don't want to be the person sitting in a cubicle answering phones all day. So that is a huge inspiration to me. To like make sure I'm not one of those people again, ever again. So that is like the underlying inspiration altogether. And then of course there's like different inspiration for different things. You know, like I love me some Pinterest. Who doesn't love Pinterest for inspiration and Instagram and all the visual outlets? But like my core inspiration comes from not wanting to have to go back to a 9-to-5 job or, you know, being someone else's monkey, basically.
And it's because you are so unique in your skills and talents too, that being able to work for yourself gives you the freedom to like let your uniqueness flag fly, or your freak flag fly, or whatever you want.
Flag.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love it.
So like, and that's truly like when everyone starts out on this kind of journey of being an entrepreneur or small business owner, it's because at some point or time you realize that working for yourself was better than working for the big corporate clients.
Right. Exactly. I don't ever want to be at a point where I can't take off and go to my kids' plays or whatever. You know, I always want to be at a point where I know that if on a Tuesday evening I want to go to a movie and I was supposed to work that Tuesday evening, but it's okay because I can work Wednesday morning, then like that's fine with me. And so, yeah, like just keeping it to where I control the outcome of everything, because whether we think we do or not, we totally control the outcome. It's just super important to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all have the power of choice. So we can actually choose how we wake up each day and how we actually want to do what we want to do in our business. Like, you can't actually change that, and no one can take that away from you. And I mean, lo and behold, my choice this week, I'm at the beach with my family. 17 of us are in 3 different beach houses, and we all chose to came here. And I'm choosing to work right now because guess what? It fits into my schedule, and I got too hot at the beach. So you know what? Being an entrepreneur, you have that freedom to actually do what you want and say no to things that you don't want to do and say yes to the things that actually light you up.
Oh, totally. 100% agree.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think that when you touched on your kids and things like that, I think that's probably the biggest motivator and reason that I stick with what I'm doing. As many times as a position availability can be attractive for regular income, I sit and I think about having to report to somebody and having to get permission to take time off to go see my kids, or, you know, oh my gosh, would they have to go in extended care so that, you know, I can get them late from school or stuff like that. And it makes my stomach turn.
Right? I know.
I can't do it. Yes. I have to be available. I have to be my own boss.
Yep. Yeah. Or some of us are just built that way. You know, some aren't. My husband doesn't want to be his own boss. Some of us are built that way and some of us are not. And that's what makes the world turn.
Yeah. And for the, because I'm recently an entrepreneur, it actually is interesting. Like, I haven't seen my family since I actually made that decision. So being with them this week and having to explain it to them where they're like, oh, well, you can actually like choose to go to the beach and then work for 2 hours. And oh, like you can actually take off and do this. And I'm like, yeah. And it kind of is freaking awesome.
Right? Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I love it. So I do also want to ask you, because your inspiration kind of comes from the all-encompassing, you don't want to go back to working for someone else. And then those little facets of, you know, Pinterest and Instagram to kind of get the creative juices flowing. What are some of the values that you bring into your business?
So for me, I don't work with anybody who is going to come off as giving me a bad name, right? So that's a huge value for me. Like, I don't want to work with people who, for instance, their whole brand messaging is a cuss word, or not that I don't cuss, girlfriend cusses, but I, you know, that's just not what I want my business to look like. So I bring those values to the table that, like, I'm okay with turning down those jobs. You know, if your brand name has a cuss word in it, I'm probably not going to take on that project, and that's okay with me. Another value for me is that I value differentness and creativity. So if somebody comes to me and they say, oh, I want a website, but I want it to look just like this other one you did, and, you know, basically just copy that site, I usually will turn down the project because that's not what I want my business to be. I don't want it to be all one big copies of one website, you know?
I think that that was one of the things I just had a client recently where she kept sending me sites. I like what this person has here. And I said, stop. Don't send me another site. Like, when I first started, I had people do that so I could see their style. And yeah, then I quickly realized, I'm like, no. You get too stuck in what that person's doing. I want to know what you like, not what they did that you want to copy. I want your style. I want your personality. I want to do that. Stop sending me other people's sites.
Yeah, no, I still ask for links, but I'm very specific on, like, why do you like it? What about it do you like? You have to give me this information or I'm not even going to come close to whatever it is you like. Because if somebody just says, oh, I like this site, and I think, oh, they're liking the way the images show up or the way this happens or the colors, then that's probably not the case and we're going to get it wrong, you know, the first go around. So I ask for their inspiration from like Pinterest or whatever first. And then I say, okay, so as far as functionality goes and the way everything looks, send me some sites that really just pique your interest. And it helps. It works really well that way.
I like that. And that's what I had to do with this particular client. We stepped away and we went to Pinterest first. I was like, we're going to build you a board. I want you to just start there. Let's go over here first.
Exactly.
And then we can revisit some of the things. But yeah, it was like, I kept getting the, I like this site and I like that site, and I'm not sending sites.
Yeah. And you know, the values that you bring into your business make so much sense, because your whole thing is you're unique. You have this unique set of skills. Like, you're not the cookie cutter type entrepreneur that goes out there because, you know, someone said they could do something, but they have no strategy or, you know, understanding of it. So your clients are going to be the same type of person, because ideally, even though our ideal clients have different things about them, there's some part of us that emulates in them that attracts them to us. So that the fact that you're using those values plus your uniqueness, that basically get the perfect client out of that.
Yeah, a lot of people say that you are marketing, or your ideal client is the person you used to be. So if you take that into consideration, then, you know, I used to be a beginning web designer. Like, you know, this is what I would have wanted then. Or I used to be the blogger who wanted to design my own site. So how could I market to them? And that's where the DIY course came from. Like, I wanted to have that course 5 years ago when I was starting. And it wasn't out there. So yeah, I mean, you just market to who you be yourself in your marketing, and then the people who you want will just naturally come to you.
I love it. And I think that was something that, even for myself, because I see myself as being just a little bit behind you, where we have similar paths, but I took a break and had to start from scratch on evaluating ideal clients and all of that, because I never did that in the beginning. In the beginning, I was like, I have a skill, I can do it. I jumped feet first.
Yes.
Just went for it. And then when people started asking me, when I made the pivot, like, who's your ideal client? I was like, I have no idea. I don't know who
Right.
Like, whoever will pay me, you know?
Sometimes that is your ideal client, though. Sometimes it's okay to just be like, my ideal client is the one who will pay me. It's okay. Yes.
And that's exactly who my ideal client was in the beginning. But as we said earlier, like, that led to the crappy clients in some cases. And I feel like when I finally took a point to sit down and say, you know, this is who my ideal client is, one of the things I noticed was that it was me a little bit ago, and that that's who I wanted to help. I wanted to help those people who used to be, or who are like who I used to be, because I wanted to help them get to where I am.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And I'm at the point now where, like, if I look back, I'm 4 or 5 months into this whole entrepreneur journey. I just left my corporate 9-to-5 job last December. And like, the people who I'm attracting now, it makes sense. They're the ones who want to get out of those jobs. They're the ones who were me 6 months ago, who are like, I really just am happy and I have this idea and I really just need to make it work, because this is where, like, my spirit is and my passions are. And I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense. You might not have a lot of money right now, but guess what? 6 months ago, I didn't have a lot of money to start my business. So let's figure it out.
Right. Exactly. I think it's just a natural path, you know?
Yeah. So out of, you know, all of the things that you actually do, who are some of the biggest influencers that have helped kind of shape who you are and kind of who your businesses have grown into?
So I have to say that I have a lot of these, so I don't know where to start. But I will say, when I talked about my 2015 mindset shift, where I went from it being a hobby to being a business, I was obsessed at the time with the Being Boss podcast. So podcasts are a huge motivator for me in general. That's why I started one. They're like, it's almost like, you know, it's free business advice, basically. So, and they're a really good motivator, because you can see that other people have been there and done that. And for those listeners out there who don't know me, I live in a teeny tiny little town in North Carolina, and there's not a lot here. Like, our maximum job, like, pay is probably like topping out at 70, and that's like max. That's like the people with, like, you know, doctor degrees or whatever. So there's not a ton of opportunity here to be, like, wealthy, I guess you could say, by someone else's standards. But anyway, so I started listening to the Being Boss podcast, and Emily Thompson, one of the co-hosts, does the same thing I do. She does web design and that type of thing. And she also just happened to used to live where I live, which is very strange, because nobody lives here. Weird. Weird as heck. But her, I don't know what he is, life partner, I guess you could say. They're not married, but he went to grad school at the same college I went to. So that's how they ended up here. But anyway, hearing that Emily could live here, grow her business to the scale that it was and is, and have this podcast and be very successful and that type of thing, it was a huge kick in the butt for me. I was like, what the hell am I? Oh, sorry. Am I allowed to cuss?
Sure. We don't. Yeah. As long as they're not the big ones, we really don't care.
Okay. So I was just sitting there thinking, like, what the heck am I doing? Like, why am I limiting myself to, you know, this small town mentality. So she was a huge influencer. The Being Boss podcast in general was. I love Kathleen too. We've interviewed both of them on our podcast, but Emily specifically, because I could identify with her so much.
And it's almost like where she's at right now, you know, you're going to get there and, you know, kind of, you're almost growing at your own pace, but like, because she kind of was able to do it where you are right now, you know that there's no limit for you anymore. That kind of small mindset mentality is gone for you. And that's amazing.
Exactly. And I have really tried to, there's not business for me locally. There never has been. I've never thought, oh, I want to be some kind of local, because the people here are paying like maximum $500 for a web design and they look like they were made in the 90s. So I'm fine with it. Like, I'm okay with not working with local clients. But something that I really believe in is pouring into the local women here who are sort of thinking the same way I was, at like, oh, well, I can't make that kind of money because I live here, you know, that type of thing. So I've tried a lot in the last, like, at least 6 months or so to really pour into that community. So I've had like features in the local newspaper and done a lot of like local events and marketing so that I can show people that like these types of things are possible, because I don't think that it's born. I don't think anybody, it's ever born and bred into anybody. I don't think that like in high school, the majority of people in the whole world or in the US are being told, yeah, sure, go pursue that art degree because then you can, you know, own your own business and be a millionaire. We're told to think practically, and we're told to get these practical jobs, and specifically here in this area, oh yeah, it's like heavy. I wanted a photography degree and everybody was like, what are you gonna do with photography here? You know? So we're told that we need to base our life off of what's available here if we want to live here. And available here is like banks, a few banks, and, you know, a couple of utility companies, and that's it. So yeah, I've really pushed hard to pour into my local community the fact that they can do this. They're wanting to make baby booties, or they're wanting to produce an online magazine, just whatever. You don't need to think small town minded and like get out into the world, because that's the thing. We have the internet and I'm sitting here talking to you guys, and I'm pretty sure you're across the world from me. So
Well, I'm further than Nicole is. She's at least on the correct coast.
Yeah. Nicole, where are you at?
Well, I live in like right outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Awesome. But for the week, I have relocated to Bethany Beach in Delaware.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yes. I'm like 5 hours from Nashville.
Oh yeah. That's not bad at all.
And I have a mastermind group, and somehow I got in a mastermind group with five other girls, or maybe four other girls. Three of them live in Nashville, and one of them used to live in Nashville, but moved back up north somewhere. And I'm like, how did that happen? Like, I'm like, not even close to Nashville.
It's a sign that you have to come visit Nashville.
Yes, I would love it. I know I would. I'll be there one of these days.
So to wrap things up and ask a fun question, if there was a movie produced about your life, who would play you and why?
Okay, so Emma Stone, 100%, because she's a redhead. And I love me some Emma Stone. I just think she's awesome. And her character in Easy A, like how straightforward and whatever she was, you know, that is so me. So I could totally just put her into my life, 100%.
I could totally see that. And she's like a spitfire too. Like, she's not afraid to like tell it as it is and, you know, really just get down and dirty. So I could totally see her playing you.
Yeah. She would have to leave her hair red though, because yeah, she keeps going back and forth between blonde and red, and she's driving me crazy. Just leave it red.
And I think honestly, it's probably just the different films she's in, because I think there are a couple of ones that are like, oh, you can't be a redhead. But her actual natural red hair is like gorgeous.
So did you know her hair isn't naturally red?
No, I've really. Yes.
Her hair is blonde, and she doesn't look as good as a blonde, which is really funny to me. But I saw her on a talk show one time, and she said that when she first got onto acting, that they wouldn't, like, nobody would sign her. She just kept getting up against obstacle and obstacle and obstacle. And finally a producer was like, I don't like your hair. Like, I think you should be a redhead. And so she dyed it, and she landed her first role, like, immediately after.
Oh, my God.
But she has kept it red.
Yeah. Well, how crappy of someone to be like, sorry, you just don't look good naturally. But I mean, that tip, wow. She really does look like she's a natural redhead. Like there's nothing about her that screams like this is a dye job or I did this because someone told me to. So
yeah. And she's like she's super fair skinned and that type of thing. So I think she probably was supposed to be a redhead and got dipped in the wrong bucket on birth. I don't know. I don't know. That's what I say all the time about my eyebrows. Like my eyebrows are black. They're black as black can be. And my hair is red. And I'm like, God got really confused. Like, I think he gave me somebody else's eyebrows. Like, I was supposed to have red eyebrows. And, you know, but now my oldest son has red hair, same color as mine. So it's auburn. For those of you who can't see me, it's not like bright red, it's auburn. And his eyebrows are much lighter than mine and do have a red tint. And I'm like, okay, we got that one right. Yeah. We're good.
I love that. And I love that you pick Emma Stone, especially saying an easy A, because I just absolutely love her role in that. I love how she kind of keeps her head about herself and she's like, you know what? You want to peg me this way here? I'm just going to throw myself in there and then, you know, I'll lay it out for you.
Oh, I love, yeah, that movie is like one of my favorites ever. And it probably shouldn't be. I mean, it's a teenage movie and I'm 30, but I love it. And my husband loves it too. Like, it's just so funny. Now, had you asked me this question, like, say around like 2004, 2005, like the year I graduated high school, I would have said Lindsay Lohan. But I am not a crack.
No.
I can't handle the Lindsay Lohan anymore.
No, she's interesting. That could be a whole nother podcast on how she actually grew up in the town over for me. So
really?
Yeah. She grew up in Merrick and I grew up in Belmore, New York. So she had friends that went to Calhoun High School and we were in MEPM and it was just, I never actually met her, but I know people who have, and it's just, she's a
right
funny duckling. That's what I'm going to call her, funny duckling.
Yeah, I could see that because I really liked her when she first broke, which she's like my age. So it was like somebody that was acting my age. And I always identify with the pale redheads because I feel like we're like an anomaly a little bit. And I like to know that other people are killing, like, sometimes I get jealous that I can't like tan or, you know, whatever. And so I like to know that other people are like killing the paleness and they're like, I'm still rocking it, you know? Oh, can I add another actress to this?
Yeah.
So it would either be between Emma Stone or Jennifer Lawrence.
Ooh.
Her personality is so much like mine. I could totally see, she'd have to dye her hair, but I could totally see her playing me.
I could totally see her dyeing her hair too, just because she's had to dye her hair so much between like the Hunger Games and all of her other movies and whatnot. I guarantee you she'll dye it red at some point.
Oh yeah. Well, then she can play me in that movie.
Mm-hmm. I like her too. So I love it. I have to say you just made me feel a little bit better about the poolside stuff at Savvy, because I can tell you the only thing tan on me is my arms.
Girl, I don't have a tan thing on me. Like, I am pale as pale can be. And I've just learned to embrace it. I have a very strong history of melanoma. I can't do it. It's not like I can get tan. Even if I do tan, it doesn't tan. It's like a really bright or deep red. It's pretty pitiful, actually. But I've just learned to embrace it. And my biggest tip to anybody out there is to wear neon bathing suit. If you will wear a neon color, it makes you look much less white than you are.
Make what you're wearing more neon than yourself.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to take that tip now. Now I have to go shopping.
Exactly. Right?
And I will say this summer, I haven't necessarily been outside at all just because I don't know if it's like turning 30, like just made me wiser, but like, I'm just realizing like going outside with like SPF 15 on is probably not going to help me out in the long run.
No.
And I think I bought my first one piece bathing suit in like years this year, just because I'm like, my stomach has a little, like couple of different spots on it. Let's just not increase the risk of anything right now.
Right. But
Target has the best neon bathing suits that I've seen. And that's where I bought most of mine this year.
Oh, good. I'm going to go. Yeah. I mean, my Target, quote unquote, is an hour and a half away, but I'm going to go. Yeah, my closest Target is in Tennessee. So I go to Tennessee pretty often.
Is it the one in Knoxville?
No, Johnson City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, because I am right on the corner of North Carolina, Virginia, and Tennessee. Like, I'm literally, I can drive that way a little bit and be in Tennessee just as quick as I can be to the Walmart in my town.
So, you're right. So, if that that target is actually right probably by Ashley Cox, the HR consultant.
Yes, yeah. I just had lunch with her the other day. We had a whole like co-working date. We met in the middle, even though Johnson City is not a huge drive for me, but we just met in the middle and had a nice little co-working date in Abingdon, Virginia. See, that's just it. In Tennessee, I'm in North Carolina, and we met in Virginia because that was in the middle. You know, like, how is that even possible? But it is.
Oh, I'm jealous. I actually get to talk to her this week, and we're doing our little, like, savvy virtual coffee date.
Oh, she's great. Mm-hmm. Ashley's awesome. She's so sweet, and she's super smart. She's awesome. I can't wait to hang out with her a little more. I've got to figure out more times I can get over to Johnson City, because she's, like, the only one who understands me in, like, a 400-mile radius, you know?
Oh, I get it. I get it. Well, that's awesome that you guys found each other, though. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We thoroughly enjoyed talking with you. And for all of our listeners, if you head on over to the beautifullyboldpodcast.com, we will have all of our show notes, resources, and other pretty things for you to look at. And we will continue the conversation over in our Facebook group, which is Beautifully Bold in Business. So thank you so much, Jessica. We had such a lovely afternoon talking to you.
Thanks so much. I've been so glad to be here.
Let's get you leading beautifully and boldly in your life and business. Head on over to beautifullyboldpodcast.com for more information about this episode, show notes, and resources on how to be beautifully bold in your business. There you can also learn more about the two beautiful women behind the movement. If you liked what you heard today, then head on over to iTunes and leave Nicole and Samantha a review. It's the little things that can have a huge impact, and your review would mean so much to them. This music is provided by bensound.com.